squashy. Something like that, I don't think. All right, so we have a text from Luke chapter 2, and we've basically heard that story from the sheep's perspective. So if you know the Christmas story, you'll know this text really well. So we'll begin by reading that. So it's Luke chapter 2 and it starts at verse 8, if you want to have a look. Otherwise, you can just listen. So there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Now, I think last time I was stood up here, I was talking to you about the fact that the context in which Scripture is written is really important to understand. And absolutely true in this case, because we've come to think of Christmas as this time of, in Australia, as celebration, presents, visitors, family, friends, lots of food to eat, holidays, lots of fun, lots of celebration. And the only thing that's even more off track than that for us is to think of it in a North American or a European context, because it's winter and it's freezing cold and there's a warm fire to sit beside where you roast chestnuts, apparently. Which is even a different context to ours. But what I want you to understand today is that is nothing like, neither of those are anything like the context into which this story was written. So we want to look for a moment at that context, because there are some real, there's almost some irony in the story if you understand the context in which it's written. There's a little bit of debate around the time that Jesus was actually born, and the scholars have settled on around 4 BC, which is just a little bit before the zero mark that we use. It's not really that important in a couple of thousand years. But it's important for another reason, because it's the end of the reign of King Herod the Great. And that sets up a context nothing like what we understand today. Okay, this guy was used, well, if you were to jump forward to 1945, he sets up a similar system to what we saw in the Second World War. Oppression, violence, terrorism, if you want to call it that. He was in the process in the year 4 BC of trying his own son for treason so that he could get rid of him, his own son. It just killed off all of the family of the previous monarch, because they were a threat, so they're all gone. He had plenty of people out on surveillance for him, plenty of spies out there, and if you took one step out of line, you died. And the people had endured 150 years. Israel had endured 150 years of displacement, of turmoil in two split kingdoms. So this is nothing like the joy and the peace and the love and the presence and the warm fire or the cool air conditioner, depending where you are, and the food and the friends that we've come to understand Christmas to be. And an interesting thing happened because there was a couple of Jewish activists named Matthias and Judas who destroyed a big eagle that had been placed in front of the temple. It was an imperial symbol. And they decided they'd rip this thing down, a bit like the ripping down of some of the famous statues we've seen in the last 20 or 30 years. So they destroyed this big eagle on a rumour that Herod was about to die. So they thought, we'll get rid of it. Problem for them was Herod didn't die when they thought he would. And so the final consequence, they were rounded up and they were burnt. And then Herod decided to round up everybody who he thought was involved and killed all of those people as well. So you can understand, if you understand all that, you realise that when there's a bunch of shepherds out in a field one night watching their sheep and an angel comes and says, I'm bringing a message of joy and peace, they're thinking, what on earth are you talking about? How can there be joy and peace? Look at the world in which we live. We're afraid to step sideways here because we know that if we do, we'll die. We can't say a word about the oppression of Rome, the empire. We know if we speak out against that, they'll just kill us. So how can you come and say to us, I bring a message that will bring the words of the angel I really like here. I want to flick back to it. If I can find it. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. First word. Do not be afraid. I bring you a good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, we hear those words in our context. It's just another carol. We sing it. We sang about it already. But if you can imagine living in a world like that and you hear a message that says those words, suddenly it turns your world upside down. Now, these shepherds, of course, we know from the story that they run off, and we'll talk about their role in a minute because that's also interesting, but they run off to Bethlehem when they hear this after their fears are relieved and find exactly what the angel said to them. And that's an interesting point because angels are normally messengers. That's their primary role through all of Scripture. In fact, I think, pardon me, the Greek word for angel is messenger. I think. I'm not a Greek scholar. And angels bring messages to people. But in this context, you notice that the angels deliver a message to the shepherds who become the messengers. The angels disappear. They sing their song, or one brings the message, the big choir gathers around, they sing their song, and they're gone. Now, I thought about this because I was just trying to imagine the reaction the shepherds get when they run into town in this context that we've talked about, so war, violence, oppression, fear, and they say, oh, we just heard an angel tell us that there's a great time of joy and peace coming in the midst of this world. Now, these are shepherds. And I would have loved to have seen the reaction from the people around them. They probably either thought, well, yes, they've had some of that magic mushrooms or whatever, the happy juice out in the paddock with the sheep. How can this possibly be true in this time? And I realised in that truth that God steps into worlds of turmoil and brings peace and joy and hope where there never was. And in a way, it's true for all of us. When God steps into our personal life, you and I, he brings hope, peace, joy, where often there has been turmoil and fear and hopelessness and sometimes violence. and takes that world and turns it upside down, inverts it. And I think for me, the message of Christmas is about turning the world upside down. In the lives of individuals, in communities, in nations, and hopefully in the whole world. And if you think about it, it makes sense because Jesus' whole life really was about turning the world upside down. All the stuff that happened in the world, he did the opposite. When people were proud and were able to get traction out of somebody else for their own gain, he turned it upside down. He said, pray for them. If someone's an enemy, pray for them. If someone's poor, give them something. If they don't have a shirt, take your shirt off and give it to them. To the church, he said, the church, you think you're so important while you isolate all these broken people, but the message is that they're the ones who are important, not you, not the structure, not the religious institution, but the people out there. So everything Jesus did turns the world upside down, and if you think about it, his entry into this world turned that known world upside down. A message of joy and peace in a world of violence and hate and oppression and fear. So many times he used those words, do not be afraid, it's I. He said it to the disciples all the time when they were also in fear. For a lot of people in our world, the idea of anything, of life being any different to what it is, seems impossible. The idea of living your life any way different to the way that it is now seems like an impossibility because there is so many obstacles in the way to reach that. And for me, that message of Christmas is about breaking those obstacles, making a different, better way of life a reality. Now, that doesn't mean everything's suddenly fixed. Don't get me wrong. The world into which Jesus was born was full of turmoil. In fact, before he was even going to school, they had to remember he became a refugee. He became an asylum seeker himself. He and his family had to leave because of the threat of violence. So I don't mean to say that everything's suddenly fixed. I think sometimes giving your life to God presents a whole bunch of new challenges because you have to face those things that need to be pushed aside. But he has the power to do that and the strength, to give us the strength to do that. And I think in seeking God deeply into our hearts and our lives, we find a peace that we never knew existed. And even in the midst of turmoil, we can find that place of peace. The message of Christmas turns the known world upside down. It puts everything in reverse. The angels care for the shepherds, and the shepherds are cared for by those angels. So maybe the question for us is not so much what do we do with this baby born in a manger? What do we do with that story? I don't think that's that important. I think the question is, what do we do with this man, Jesus? What do we do with that? One of the little phrases, which I don't really like, I understand it, but I don't like it, is that people often say, oh, Jesus is the answer. Now, in a way, that's true. I get what they're saying, but I think Jesus is the question. I don't think he's the answer. I think he's the question. I think the thing is, what do we do with this man, Jesus, once we know who he is? Do we just ignore it? It's an option. Do we just leave the Christmas story here with the shepherds and the wise men and the baby in the manger? Do we just leave that? Or do we take what that message represents and do something with it. Allow it to do something in our lives. Do we step up to the challenge? Or do we just stay with the world that we know? I don't think God wants us to do that. We're going to watch a little video clip here because I think, if anything, Christmas is about a second chance. And I found this little clip. I think it's from a financial institution, so I probably don't agree with that. But they don't mention that, so it's all right. Watch what happens in this story.
This is a moment to take you to silence. Thank you.
Okay. Christmas is about a second chance, isn't it? About an opportunity and a possibility for something to be different than what it is now. That's what I like about that story. And that's what I like about Christmas, because I think that the essence of the message is that God wants us to live a different way, to live in a different world, to live in a better world than the one that maybe we know around us now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reminder that in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of suffering and grief and fear, that you bring joy and peace. And sometimes it's hard to see that as a possibility in the worlds in which, in the world in which we live. As we look around us, as we experience life, as things happen, sometimes it's hard for us to see. But today we draw on that promise. We reflect on that ancient story. We think about a time when you stepped into history in the midst of turmoil and grief and fear and violence, and turned that world upside down. And I pray that you will turn our worlds upside down as well in our own lives, and that you help us to honour the calling that you've placed on us to make a difference in our world today. So thank you for this message. Thank you for the hope that it brings. And I pray now that for each of us, we will experience that hope and joy for ourselves this Christmas. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.